You're listening to Paranormal Portal on Revolver Podcasts. Everybody, and welcome to the Paranormal Portal Podcast. I'm your host, Brent Thomas. Thank you all for joining us here. We'd like to thank all of you who have been reaching out and following the show, subscribing, and requesting to be on the show. It's been absolutely wonderful, and I've had the opportunity to meet so many wonderful, wonderful people. So thank you all for that. And if you have a story of your very own you'd like to share on the Paranormal Portal, please let me know. Just email me at paranormalportalradio@gmail.com. Again, Paranormal Portal Radio, all one word, at gmail.com. Got a great show lined up for you guys today. I am really pleased to welcome our guest today, who is Helen from West Virginia, who's had an absolute amazing amount of things happening to her, and she has stepped forward saying, "Hey, I want to tell my story." So we're absolutely honored to have her with us today. So let's get right into it. And Helen, thank you for coming on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brent. I'm glad to be able to share my story with you.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool, and it works really as such a catalyst for other people to step forward when those of you guys who are out there and have experiences say, "Hey, I want to tell my story," because I think, you know, it's kind of like the dance floor. Nobody wants to be the first one to dance, but once somebody comes forward, it's like the floodgates really open and people are able to, you know, find the courage to step forward and tell their story. So it's just been an absolute honor, and I'm thrilled that we were able to make this work today. So thank you again.
Absolutely.
So your stories. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to get, you want to ask me a question, that's fine. But I was just going to get started on what happened. And it's been over the past 5 years, and it morphed from me thinking that it was a human being, mm-hmm. just being like disguising themselves, okay. Into an actual entity that you cannot see.
Sure.
That can manipulate a flashlight if you ask it questions.
Mm-hmm.
That lets me know that it is in my vicinity and touching my body at just about all the time, except for it does allow me to sleep. It has that courtesy.
Very cool. Now, before we go any further, what was the very first thing that cued you off that something was going on?
That cued me off. Well, I got on Facebook about 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to connect with some old friends.
Okay.
And this thing, which I thought was a person at the time, impersonated a friend of mine on Facebook.
Ooh.
And my actual friend says, yeah, I remember we played basketball together, you know, and with my brothers. Mm-hmm. And he lived about a block away. And then this was the last time that I really had a communication with this person.
Okay.
Then I get two more messages on Facebook from apparently the same person impersonating him. Mm-hmm. Saying he was, you know, kind of joking around and acting like he was sort of interested in me, but being cocky, a little flippant. Mm-hmm. And so we carried on conversation. But like I say, that was only twice.
Okay.
I asked this person for email address, their address, mm-hmm. still thinking that it might be my friend from Facebook. And I got nothing. I got no response about that whatsoever. So I was playing this game incognito, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't respond to it anymore on Facebook. But it started, I'd be texting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be the choice of words that you could choose from at the top of your text.
Okay.
And it started communicating with me that way. And, you know, saying words like, you're gorgeous, you're pretty, you're an empath, it's a weakness, you know, and things like that. And I knew it was coming from this thing. Uh-huh. And I still thought that my cell phone was being hacked, but
right.
It wasn't.
Okay.
So when I came to that realization, which was probably about a year and a half later, and it was about the time that I was having arguments with he's my ex-husband, but, having arguments and he was, Bruce is this impersonator. That's his name. He was becoming more, prevalent.
Okay.
And, I'd be like, playing a CD player.
Mm-hmm.
And he would stop the CD player, reverse it if there was a phrase that he wanted to repeat, and then
wow.
stop the CD player again.
Man.
And it also happened in the car. And one example is Peter Gabriel's I Have the Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the lyrics in it is Wanting Contact.
Okay.
And it would... you know, repeat that once or twice.
Wow.
And then not go any further on the CD. And this was in the car.
Wow.
And also it happened at home. So I'm thinking, I am really losing my mind. I love listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
And so does this entity. And which makes me think that he may even be from the same period of time that, like when I grew up.
Sure. Okay.
And you know, maybe something tragic happened to him.
Mm.
So I don't know. I don't really know. But to give you an idea of sort of my written story, before I get out of bed and the entity realizes that I am awake, a vibration starts in my crotch. I ignore it. I get out of bed with my deflated rubber exercise ball folded and my fleece blanket covering my crotch. So then I can sit down and drink some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Gurgling in my stomach starts. Vibration continues. Static electricity in my left and right hand. Sometimes, well, usually it's the left for some reason. My right middle finger has become a new target. Since I have all my main body parts covered, the worm begins to crawl on the top of my head. A feeling like a worm.
Oh.
And then a boring, and it's like it's boring down into my skull.
Wow.
Otherwise, so I put my baseball cap on, which I have a rubber exercise band folded up inside it, and that helps to deflect it. Otherwise, my neck becomes tense and stiff, and the tendons snap, and then at times my shoulders and my neck begin to hurt.
Mm-mm.
If my head is not protected and my neck becomes stiff, I have to put ice on the back of my neck. And that does give me some relief.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really intense, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
It just must have felt like reality flipped on its head then, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Who does this happen to?
Yeah.
Did I walk through the Twilight Zone?
Right.
I don't know. But the way it treats me is like he's really domineering.
Mm-hmm.
If I eat something at home, he's afraid I'm going to put on weight. And I have since this experience started, but that's just the way it is. So he'll give me pricks on a part of my body, like, don't eat that. You know, it's going to make you fat. Or he'll give me a prick on underneath my chin, like, you know, watch that chin now. It's getting loose. It's your age. It's getting loose. You got to do something about that.
Wow. So it's like having a personal trainer, huh? That's pretty intense.
Yeah. So anyway, I've tried a lot of different things mm-hmm. through the time that it's been around. Tried an EMF detector, and the EMF detector was just, you know, crazy. Like, you know, there'd be one dot and it'd go up to five and it'd beep. And especially like when the paranormal investigators came over, and they have an EMF detector too. So one of them sat in the chair I usually sit in, and it went way up. And then we went in my bedroom and pointed it to the bed, mm-hmm. and it went way, way up.
Wow.
And other things, you know. I ended up giving the EMF detector away because I thought, I'm really obsessing over this, and I've just got to quit that. You know, it's my life. I've got to live my life.
Good for you.
So I gave it to someone.
Yeah.
Now, he can be in more than one place at a time. He can be listening to me. On, you know, if I'm listening with my earbuds in, and he can be like to the cell phone, and then he can also be on the computer,
mm-hmm.
he can be in another place.
Wow.
But the psychic said that, and he's a clairvoyant, he says he can see him, you know. He says, I wouldn't want to know what he looked like, so I've never found out really what he looked like.
That's probably better not to know. You're right. Yeah.
It would be nice to know that he was a good-looking guy.
Yeah. I'm sure if he was, then they probably would have told you, but when they don't tell you, that's a bad sign. Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't tell me.
So how long ago did this all start? To from now?
It started about, the paranormal activity started in September of 2017.
Okay.
But when it initially began was in 2015,
mm-hmm.
in like January, something like that. I never wrote down the date. I was too involved with trying to figure it out and how to get rid of it. And,
sure.
You know, I'd say, a lot of affirmations and prayers at this point.
Yeah. And do you find that that helps?
I think it, in a way it does, because I know the entity hears it.
Right.
Is it like he'll repeat certain phrases. Like in one of them, I say that I am a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was listening to a song this morning on the radio, and it was repeating those words, and he gave me a little... Yep, we've been there, haven't we? I'm a child of God. It's just nuts.
It really is. It really kind of changes your whole life, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. It takes away my concentration, but I try not to let that happen.
Yeah.
When I realized that it was an entity and not a human being,
mm-hmm.
not maybe formally it was, I'll give it that. But I wanted to get everything that was in connection with it out, away from me. So I broke all the CDs that I had. I tore apart my boombox, and I ran the car over my laptop, and then I pulled all the parts out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a little bit better doing that, but of course it didn't change. It just changed into something else. If it wasn't going to be me playing the CD, it was going to do something else.
Sure.
You know? So it messes with my TV.
Oh, right. Yeah, because I imagine all those items were just methods rather than, you know, an actual place of the being. You know, like they were methods to contact you or to give you indications of its presence. And when you took that away, it just changes its approach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
It's all a means of it communicating with me.
Right.
So when the flashlight went on, when the paranormal group was at my house, it didn't surprise me, but in a way it did, but I'd never tried a flashlight before.
Sure.
But then when it started giving these answers that I thought were, you know, ridiculous, I thought, well, you're just being a trickster. You're just making all this up. You know, what's the point?
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know. I've had a couple of times when I was a little concerned, and one was I made an appointment with an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
And both of my shoulders had been aching a whole lot, and I hadn't had that problem before.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was waiting in the patient room for him to come in, I felt like I was having a heart attack.
Oh, geez.
Like it was just a stab above my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any problems with my heart. I have low blood pressure. You know, I mean, normal blood pressure.
Sure.
Anyway, it really hurt. It hurt bad enough that I thought I needed to go to the emergency room.
Wow.
And as soon as Dr. Pollack walked in the room, it went away, completely away.
Oh.
And I thought, well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty powerful. And especially if it just stopped right on cue when someone else entered, that's a pretty strong indication that something could have been going on at that point. I mean, if you weren't just fatigued from being at the doctor, some people get really stressed out, and of course, stress can manifest in a lot of ways. But just if on cue when he comes in, boom, it's fine, that's pretty peculiar.
Yeah. So that happened twice. Well, anyway, Dr. Pollack happened to be my boss for 7 years. So he wasn't anyone that I was nervous in front of.
Oh, okay.
You know, he was a friend.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it happened another time when I said, you don't have any relevance in my life. And I was just getting out of the car, coming back from Florida, getting out of the car, shutting the door. And I said, you don't have any relevance in my life. Because I'd been pissed off at driving 11 and a half hours with this assault. And I was, you know, a little bit teed off.
Yeah.
And it gave me that bang in my chest again, that little stabbing.
Sure.
And I thought, yeah, you know,
yep.
Jerk, why are you doing that? You know,
right.
It didn't have to be that way. Because
yeah.
If I'd realized he was an entity and he was nonviolent, I'd make room for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if
right.
That's what he wanted to do, because I don't have any control over that situation.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, I think that there's always, or at least most of the time, there's a way to get rid of these things if indeed it becomes too hard to deal with, or it's, you know, affecting your quality of life. Then you've got to make choices and bring in people that are probably more geared towards that. But I agree with you. I mean, some people are really freaked out by having presences around, and I think we're kind of swimming in a world of them. So if they're peaceful and respectful, there's not a problem. But other people are like, nope, this is my home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It is invading my personal space, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
I like to be able to come home. And just, you know, it's my home. It's my castle. I want to rest. I want to do what I want to do.
Right.
And I've got this old nuisance all the time.
Yeah. And it's pretty constant, huh?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's pretty constant.
Yeah, that's so really disconcerting, and certainly after the show, I will email you some information that may help. And put you in contact with people that may be able to help you if you're willing. Certainly nobody should live in a situation where they don't feel like they, you know, have control over their own life because of something negative being around. And while it may be, you know, as you've stated before, when, you know, especially when we were talking before recording, it sounds like it's a trickster kind of thing. And I agree with you. Nothing really, really malicious is going on other than it's making sure that you always seem to know that it's there and making its presence known. But, you know, those kind of things, if it affects the quality of your life, That's certainly not what you deserve, and I believe these things are can be taken care of. So we'll definitely stay in contact in that regard. And I'll, you know, if it sounds like a good idea to you and you want to follow up with that, it's my pleasure. We have some wonderful people that do help in that regard. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. Hey guys, Brent Thomas here of the Paranormal Portal Podcast. We just wanted to take a moment to introduce you to the Paranormal Portal store. We've got t-shirts, hoodies, leggings, stickers, mugs, you name it, you might find it over there. So head on over to teespring.com/stores/paranormal-portal, and you too can help fund the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Thank you so much for all that you do, and thank you for being a part of our Paranormal Portal family. Everybody, and we're back at it here on the Paranormal Portal Podcast. Buckle up, we're going in.
That would be great.
Yeah,
I've contacted a psychic. I've seen him 8 times to find out what it is and could he possibly get rid of it. And as intelligent as I think he was, really, he couldn't put a finger on it.
Yeah.
And so then I tried a shaman from Northern California, and he said, no, he's gone. He's gone up to the healing circle. He's being escorted up there by the spirits and the angels. And I'll be darned if he wasn't, you know, violating me at that moment he said that. He said, don't worry, but he's gone. You'll have a little residual. Well, 6 weeks later, it was still happening. So I met with the shaman again. He said the same thing. He said, well, he is gone this time. The inappropriate being is gone. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't.
Wow.
So he's strong, and he's something that maybe somebody can handle it. I'm sure there's people out there who have that ability.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Yeah, exactly. And I commend you for trying different avenues with that. I mean, some people are, and this isn't a judgmental statement at all, but it can be limiting in that some people are tied to a paradigm, like, well, only somebody from my church can help and nobody else. And I think there's lots of different, you know, practices and abilities within other groups that may be able to help as well. But some people are just really hesitant to step outside of their paradigm with that. And it can be really limiting. And people are of course, in some instances, left to deal with these things on their own because they don't want to bring in other ideas or spiritualities with that. And so I'm glad that you're open to that.
I am, definitely. Well, I've seen this all my life. I have a slight ability to be, you know, to sense things in people. And have always been interested in the paranormal. I read about Edgar Cayce when I was 12.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, just because I had an interest in that sort of thing. So, you know, could it be that that's one reason the spirit was drawn to me? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. If I was receptive to it, did I have an open spot somewhere around the barrier around my body that it just crawled right in? I don't really know.
Sure. And you know, I would say that I would almost wager money, and it comes up all the time when I'm talking to people who are experiencing a lot of activity. There does seem to be a direct correlation to their sensitivity, and it might be empathic, it might be psychic, or some combination or variant of that. But it's my belief that these people that have abilities are just like beacons. And in this case, it doesn't sound like whatever's bothering you is like the old unfinished business. I need to, you know, find someone to help me. It sounds like it has attached mm-hmm. itself to you. And I think that, mm-hmm. you know, probably that's probably why you've been dealing with this, is because you do. And I would say that in 90%+ of the cases or experiencers that have contacted me, that has been an underlying issue. So there's definitely to that. But I will say that I do believe that everyone has latent ability. It's just they either are reluctant to explore it or just aren't really aware of it. But I think that most people that are drawn to the paranormal probably have a degree of sensitivity to it naturally. And that's probably mm-hmm. what's going on with you. You seem to be, you know, a wonderful person, and you don't deserve this kind of thing. But for whatever reason, it found you. How we don't know. But yeah, I'm sure that it's bonded with you, and not in a possession kind of way. I don't mean to imply that at all. I don't think it's that kind of thing. But I think that it's definitely attached itself to you, and it's just determined to stay with you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
Yeah.
You had some
other things coming up that you were talking about, and I found these really fascinating. And the one in particular, you actually sent me a photo, and I was just blown away by this. Could you explain what happened in that photo?
Okay. This was after I joined Facebook, and I like listening to old rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
So they were advertising Spotify, and I joined Spotify. And at this time, I was having communication with this entity in that I was seeing what he was texting. Sometimes I was texting him back. Sometimes I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Spotify, all of a sudden one day, there is a on the discovery section of Spotify, was my picture and the name Miss Groovy. And I was just floored because I'd been listening to Spotify every day. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you're kidding me. I didn't do this. Mm-hmm. I did not submit a photo to Spotify. And so I sent by snail mail a letter to Spotify, and I said, how can this happen? And they said, well, we can't say anybody else did it because it came through your Facebook account. Wow. And I said, okay, all right, thank you. And then I canceled my Spotify subscription.
Which makes perfect sense to me. I mean, it's like, whoa. Yeah. Now, I think that for some of the listeners out there, they might be like, well, there must be something else going on. But I'm here to tell you that in doing the show for the several years that I have been, I find it's very, very common that, and I was talking to Helen about this prior to going on the air or recording, that spirits have no problem manipulating electronic devices. Ever since there has been electronic devices, we've heard tales or stories of them manipulating them, whether it's lights, radios, computers certainly is no different. But I don't know for sure why that is, but I suspect it may have to do with the fact that they are energetic beings. And so interrupting or manipulating the energy that is going on in a mechanical device is not very hard for them. In fact, I think it's probably one of the easiest things for them because it is an energetic process that they can, you know, manipulate. And so just bear that in mind, those of you listening out there, that, you know, this is not unique to Helen's experience. It's been going on pretty much forever. And we do hear a lot of people receiving text messages from people who have become deceased, from phone numbers that no longer exist. We've heard stories and stories of people receiving phone calls from these deceased people as well. And so whether or not it's actually the deceased people, I can't say for sure, but for whatever reason, these entities have no trouble manipulating electronic devices.
I'll give you a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. There's a motion light that's I can see through my living room when I'm watching TV, and it's across at a neighbor's house. There's mm-hmm. nothing moving out in front of the motion light. It's blinking on and off and on and off and on and off in a regular pattern, mm-hmm. whether they be the residents are home or not.
Wow.
What else? The TV mm-hmm. will digitalize a face and, you know, make it look like blocks.
Wow.
Or just the face. And then changing channel, it blocks out the sound. Or if there's a certain phrase being said, it'll block out the sound for a second.
Wow.
The flashlight, when the Paranormal Society came over, it did manipulate flashlight. Mm-hmm. Got a couple of videos of it. Nobody was close. They just had set it down on a table, on the edge of a table.
Mm-hmm.
We'd ask a question. Where are you from? Well, no. Are you from another planet? And it said yes. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that.
Right.
Who sent you here? It only answered yes or no questions. The question was, did Helen's father send you here?
Mm.
And he said yes. I don't believe that either.
Right.
Through ancestry, I know that my father's side of the family were related to kings from Scotland and things like that. Mm-hmm. And on my mother's side of the family, it was indigenous Indian. And that's been recent. I'm related to Pocahontas.
Oh, cool.
So, mm-hmm. yeah, she's my 11th great aunt. I'm so proud of that.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it is cool. So, you know, when he said it, yeah, did Helen's father send you, and it said yes, I'm like, I really don't think so. I think it's just been around for a while, and it knows what I've researched on ancestry and came up with that answer. Right. I mean, I think it's good at trying to deceive, because it started out that way as an imposter.
Right.
And things that I've experienced since.
Yes. And I got to commend you, because whenever those kind of communications are happening, it's really important to use your intuition, because there's no reason that they feel compelled to be honest, you know, especially if they're trying to remain a mystery, because I really think that in some manner there's a protection to that for them, that if you don't know who or what they are, they, you know, retain a certain higher level of power, or maybe perhaps it's just intimidation or whatever. But trusting your intuition, I think, is incredibly important during those kind of sessions, mm-hmm. because you're absolutely right. There's no reason to believe that they're telling the truth. But, you know, if you kind of tune into it and just does it feel right or not, you know, kind of trust your gut on that. That's a great point. Okay, everybody, I think it's time we got to take a break, so don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of the Paranormal Portal podcast in just a couple minutes. All right, everybody, and we're back, at it here on the Paranormal Portal podcast. Buckle up. We're going in.
I don't think you can think that they're all angelic, because as this entity has shown me, it's not angelic.
Right.
It has a fascination with me, but it's not. What do I want to say? It's not angelic. It's not really going to kill me.
Right.
But it wants to torment me.
Right. You know, and there is...
You know, it'll, like, there's an electric veil it'll put over me. Sometimes it's mild. Sometimes it's, like, makes me almost jittery. Mm-hmm. And it's doing that on purpose. What's the point?
Sure.
Well, I don't get it.
Sometimes these things are wars of attrition, you know? I mean, it's the long game. It's, you know, and over years and years, they'll, you know, work on wearing a person down. For what end, I can't be sure, not knowing what exactly mm-hmm. you're dealing with, but perhaps it's subsisting off of your energy in some manner, and, you know, maybe the flavor of your energy is a good one, I don't know, but I think that they do that. They play the long game, and they got nothing but time, you know. For them, a year is nothing because, you know, time is pretty much an unmoving thing for them. We're the only thing that changes with time. And so if they're really determined, they'll invest all the time that it takes to continually wear on a person and ultimately, in some cases, cause the surrender of the person. And in that case, you know, who knows what could be the end game for sure. But, you know,
after the person dies, is that what you think they're thinking? If I were as a human being to pass away, does it think that we're going to live happily ever after together? Or
right, exactly.
Am I going to go to wherever it came from?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of questions.
Right. Or is it just trying to get your barriers down enough that it can merge with your spirit somehow? And who knows? I mean, I don't pretend to know, but you're right.
Yeah.
Is it just because it wants to spend forever with you? And that's certainly a possibility as well. It sounds really concerning.
Yeah.
And, you know, I appreciate very much the fact that you're able to, you know, talk about it, you know, not in a painful place. Just like, hey, this is what's going on. You sound so incredibly well-adjusted to this phenomenon, which is absolutely mind-boggling.
It started out very mild, mm-hmm. and then, as I said, I thought it was a human being. So when, and it may have been, I mean, it could have been alive during the 60s, the 50s, when I was born,
sure.
Listened to the rock and roll music of that time, which makes me think that it was,
mm-hmm.
or that it was maybe killed in Vietnam. You know, all these things have gone through my head. And then it became... then I realized what it was, that it was a spirit. It wasn't a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And at first that really shocked me. And that's when I got rid of all my CDs and the boombox and all that. But I was not afraid of it because when I thought it being a human being, it wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not violating me. That yeah. didn't start until 2.5 years later.
Wow.
Once the violation started, then boom. It's like, no, this is wrong. You're not doing this to me. I need you to go. And it wasn't going to go anywhere. It hasn't. I tried a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do keep my sense of humor about it. You know, joke with it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And told it, you know, if you want to stay here, that's fine. Just do not violate me.
Right.
Don't hit me. I mean, it's like an abusive husband or something. Just don't. Stop it.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry you're going through this. I really am. It's, you know, it's got to be in many cases horrible. It doesn't sound like the mm-hmm. whole, but like you said, it sounds like a roller coaster in a way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ups and downs.
It is. It's not bad all the time. And in fact, I'm sure that he knew that I was going to be talking to you today because
mm-hmm.
I've had emails and he reads all my emails at work.
Sure.
And he's been very, very gentle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether that's going to last the rest of the day. He was probably wondering what I was going to say.
Sure. Right.
That's how well I know him. Dang.
Yeah, that's right.
Why?
Yeah.
Why me?
It's just kind of curious about what could have started it, you know? Was in generally these kind of things, they could be just some kind of wandering spirit that found you. It could be because you've brought something into your home that it was attached to. It could be I don't know, could be any number of reasons. But it's just peculiar that just one day, boom, this became your new reality.
Yeah.
But you've never been able to trace it to any one thing.
No. The things that I thought were associated with it, I thought I got rid of. But it wasn't able to give me anything. There's no furniture. Furniture that I've got's been either I purchased it new or it was handed down through the family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it would present itself now and not to one of my former family members who owned it. You know, I don't know. Could have picked up something at a flea market. I like to do that. I have no idea.
Yeah. And there may be no way of knowing for sure, but, you know, I think that's, again, I'm pretty sure that it can be helped and it can be at least, you know, controlled. I'm really hopeful that we can help you get rid of it because that's certainly no way to live. But I think that for whatever reason, it's found you and it seems to like you a lot. And that's a mm-hmm. tough thing. That's a really tough thing. But
yeah.
Has it ever manipulated faucets, doorknobs, anything like that? Do you ever notice things moving?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not doorknobs, but bathroom faucet. After I've turned the water off, it either is a cat call, which is, or it's I love you, you know,
yeah.
And it's constant. It'll every time I wash my face and look in the mirror, one of the two or both will be on that. And there was banging of a pipe mm-hmm. that was an intake valve in my living room connected to the ductwork. And it was a, you know, tapping or, you know, it just sounded like it was vibrating inside of the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a drip, and I don't know if this is connected or not. Now I'm thinking everything's a little weird.
Sure.
But the gutter system on the outside of the house,
mm-hmm.
if there's a little bit of water that's in the gutter, it sounds like it's trying to give me a message. The refrigerator will come on when I go into the kitchen. That's mm-hmm. not normal. And then it makes this rattle sound, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I don't understand you. What are you trying to say?
Right, yeah. Wow. That's just intense.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very intense. And you know, hopefully, though, we can at least find answers because I'm really curious, too. And, you know, this kind of thing comes up quite a bit. And for whatever reason, these beings just decide that that's their new home and that's their new person for whatever reason. And it's just, it's hard to wrap your head around. But, you know, again, as we were talking before, I really think we're just swimming in a world of spirits. I don't think that a spiritual presence in and of itself is bad or even unusual. I think that there's a lot of them around. It's just understanding what in this situation was so different and what is it about you that is so different than this happening to other people. Now in your family, is this kind of this something that you could have as a discussion with other members of your family?
I've talked to my nephew about it, but I've been really picky and choosy about who I told. I'm not sure that my mother would probably be upset. She's 91.
Sure.
And my daughter is like a mother hen, and I'm afraid she'd be really worried.
Sure.
I only have the one child, mm-hmm. and I have, you know, other cousins and things, but I haven't told any of them about it yet.
Well, the reason
I was really kind of waiting to just get enough evidence before I tell some of the family members. I've told some friends
sure.
that I can confide in.
Right. Now, how are you gathering evidence? You had mentioned you brought in a paranormal group, but is there any other ways, or is it just documenting what you're experiencing?
Documenting what I'm experiencing. I pretty much write down what my symptoms are on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've taken pictures, like a you know, a video, where the computer will do things that a computer doesn't do on a normal basis when there's nothing wrong with the computer. So, and some pictures. So I've got all that. I've got video of the flashlight and us asking it questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have some evidence. So I don't feel like I'm going crazy.
No.
I've got it. I can prove it.
Yeah, exactly. And when you brought the paranormal team in and they were able to conduct tests, and like the flashlight test is a pretty, it's a pretty cool test. I've really been fascinated with that. But it is reassuring, I'm sure, to know that they also were able to establish some solid evidence in correlation to your claims. That's really profound, and that's very powerful. The reason I was asking about your family was that I'm still just so curious how it came into your world, and you had mentioned some things were hand-me-downs, and I just wondered if the tone in your family would allow for you to have had that conversation with anybody who gave you an heirloom or something, like, hey, you know, here's this, but you might want to be careful because, you know, something's there with it, or, you know what I mean? It's some families have a real open dialogue about that kind of stuff, but most of them don't. And that's why I was asking.
I don't think I could talk to anybody in my family about it. Not at this point. We'll see what happens.
Well, sure.
You know, I hope to be able to tell them at some point.
Right, yeah.
I just don't think that they're ready to hear it yet.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I'm sure it's hard for you to hear, and you're experiencing it, you know, so I completely understand.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't make me nervous to talk about it. It makes me feel better just to share the information. And I think it's important that people know, in case they get on Facebook and you think that you've just friended somebody that you knew, that you grew up with, and it ends up being an entity.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, shock-a-rooney.
Yeah. And how would anybody know? Yeah.
People should know that.
Right.
No, you don't know who you're talking to.
Yeah, and that's that's just a generally good word of caution there. I've been noticing a lot of scams on Facebook myself, and these people that are just strange and have no correlating friends are just sending out these requests and then asking all kinds of personal questions right off the bat, and it's like no, you know. So just as a general word, a rule of thumb, that's it's good not to just openly trust people.
Right. Yeah. Get like two or three confirmation items that you know that this is, in fact, the person that you want to be a friend with.
Right. Exactly.
And if I had done that in the beginning, then I wouldn't have this problem, I don't think.
Well, so, yeah, that's possible. You know? I'm curious to know if that's really where it started, or if it was starting somewhere before that, and it just used that medium to have a direct communication with you. You know, a lot of times hauntings and presences like that start out so subtly that, you know, 99% of it you just wouldn't even notice. It's just some minuscule thing that had changed or something. And like, you know, you put your keys down in the same place all the time. And then one day you go there and they're not there. And you think, oh, I must have misplaced them, and you'll find them someplace completely different. And we just chalk those kind of things up to, you know, being absent-minded or whatever. And that's certainly a possibility, but what if it's not? You know, what if that's the first indication that you're not alone?
Right. So, and that could be, I've thought that.
Yeah.
And I thought, could it be an old boyfriend?
Right.
I don't know. I don't have any answers for that.
Sure.
I don't know how long it's been around before I knew of it.
Right. Yeah. That's absolutely true. It's like at what point do they come in? It may be impossible to tell, but that's at least the first moment that you noticed that something wasn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Was there, Helen, was there anything else that you wanted to make sure to include? Because we are kind of coming up on about the 45-minute mark, which, you know, is generally an episode, but you know, if you want to take a little more time, that's perfectly fine.
Oh, Brent, I think I've covered the main items that I wanted to. I thank you for your time. I really wanted to share this with not just my friends and immediate family, but my nephew, but I wanted people to have an idea what can happen.
Yeah.
What can happen when you do something you think is innocent?
Right.
And now 5 years later, I'm like, help. I need help.
Yeah. And we'll certainly do what we can, but it's been an amazing pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming forward. It's an incredibly brave thing to do, but I know that your story is going to help so many other people to step forward as well. So thank you so much, Helen, for the time and for sharing that on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brent, for having me on your show.
Oh, anytime. And if more stuff comes up, just stay in touch. I'd love to hear about it.
Okay, I will.
All right. Thanks, Helen.
All right. Well, you have a good day.
Okay, take care. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us here on tonight's show. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please feel free to follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/paranormalportalradio, as well as finding us on Twitter. We're on Twitter at Paranormal Portal, P-O-R-T-L. And we'd love to have you stop by our YouTube page and subscribe and check out our shows there. We got hundreds of shows in our vault of journeys into the paranormal portal. So I hope you'll check it out, guys. We're over there at youtube.com/paranormalportal. So hope to see you guys soon. We'll be back, of course, for more podcasts in the coming days. So stay tuned. But we love you all. Be good, be kind, be nice. Take care of each other. Help each other out. Find the magic in every day and remember to laugh as much as you can. Take care, everybody.
Sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Martin, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.